Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
Live from a bunker behind enemy lines in Chicken Murphy territory.
That's our new
most
governor.
To Second Amendment broadcast
Chicken
in the
Murphy.
Nation. Welcome to it.
Listen to me. So I did a Jose Morales from Philly Firearms Academy became an NRA instructor, training counselor, RSO, Utah
that
instructor,
day.
Everything for me. Sandy, you were in that class. Yeah. He became an instructor the
no,
same time.
I was with you. No,
oh, you were with me. We went to Philly.
We did a road trip.
That was Delaware Firearms or something Philly.
That, yeah.
So, you know, a few years ago, Jose sends me this email. He's like, we got this guy, Maj, something of another, and he's going to do this Black Guns Matter event. So we promoted it on the radio show.
Yeah.
We emailed it out and everything. And then Jose the next day said, holy shit, you know, the place blew up, standing room only. And then all of a sudden, this dude, this black dude from the inner city of Philly, starts getting all this national notoriety. So I'm watching him from afar. And this last year, I did SafeCon, and I was on a panel with him, and he didn't shut up. He stole almost the whole show with a big mouth from me. You know, that could hurt my ego a little bit. But I'm looking at the long game here. And then I go to NRA board meetings where I'm on three committees, and he's there. He's hanging out with Antonia Okafor, who's been to the range to shoot, and we communicate online all the time. So we hung out and we bullshit a little bit. And I'm like, listen, you got to come on my radio show. So I'm nice and I'm gracious. So he gets here a half hour early for the show. He goes in the VIP lounge and he eats all my effing peanut M&Ms.
Gone.
Okay?
Off top.
So without further ado, we have Maj Touré from Official Black Guns Matter. Is that right? What's your website?
The website is officialblackgunsmatter.com.
Okay.
Somebody stole the damn Black Guns Matter?
Yo, so that's what happened.
I could get that back for you.
No, so listen, dude, initially, I sent somebody else to ask because I didn't know if, like, he knew who I was.
Yeah.
I was like, I just said, yo, see what happened. Dude was like, yeah, well, I'll sell it to you for, like, crazy. Yeah. I'm like, nah. Well, you're not official, so we're official. So, boom. Official Black Guns Matter.
I own a few hundred domains, and I've had NRA instructors come to me and say, the domain you own is very similar to my business.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them, make a $50 donation to the NRA, and I transfer it over to them.
Bam. There
you go. Okay, so, although I own GuntryClub.com, I turned down $20,000 for that one.
Why? Because it's a cool name.
Guntry Club. Because I might change this to Guntry Club someday. I don't know.
Well, that was the original name.
Like. Yeah, the Guntry Club.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Listen. But I like Gun for Hire with the Eye Shot Down and Pool of Blood better.
Mm.
And that's why I like Maj, because Black Guns Matter. So it's Official Black Guns Matter. But now let's talk about this. Here's a quote from Maj. I don't think there's a black gun culture or a white gun culture. I think there's an informed gun culture and an ignorant gun culture.
Yep.
Amen.
All right. I've been saying for 26 years I'm in this game now about how, as a capitalist, everybody that comes in looks green to me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really don't see anything. I love everybody like family that comes in here, but I got to pay the bills. I got 60 people on staff. And if I'm going to eliminate blacks, Spanish, women, alternate lifestyle, I'll have 14 customers.
Yep.
Right.
Right, and my range will look like those little ranges.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, I know
exactly.
You, Anthony. Just don't charge me.
Correct.
Right.
I've been knowing you a long time. People come and name drop my shit all the time.
Yeah.
So, I love the angle. He's extremely intelligent and polished, but still got some hood in him. Where I grew up in Newark, New Jersey, and I'm the same way. I defer usually to cussing and bringing somebody's mother into it as soon as I lose my temper.
Yeah.
And then later on, my lawyers are like, you shouldn't have.
We'll clean this up. But
too late, you know.
Right.
Tough shit.
Right.
So I think Maj is a great guy. We're going to be working together. I'm going to be helping his cause. Last week, we had Shanine on. I hope everybody donated to Shanine's cause and helped her out. But this is what we need, because I've been saying this for years. The NRA is saturated at 5 million members, and it's mostly white guys, a couple of girls in there. You know, I let Tony Simon do the second is for everyone here, because we want to reach out to more and more minorities, because that's our future. Just like kids are our future, minorities are our future. Listen, our country's the melting pot, all right? The old white guy thing is dissipating, and we need to grow.
Right.
And I can't go into Patterson right. and gain the trust right. of blacks and Spanish that hang out on the streets because right. I'm a 57-year-old white guy and I could be a cop, although I'm a little, probably too fat and too old to be a cop, and I'd have been retired 10 years. So Maj can touch these people and get them onto our side. So without further ado, officialblackgunsmatter.com, Maj Touré. Sandy, he said he'll let you talk for a couple minutes, too, because once he gets started, you're done.
It's over.
Okay? Well, you know, the problem is that Anthony and I, he kind of just said it. I mean, we've been on the bandwagon for a long time, but we're two white guys. Mm-hmm. But what really pisses me off is the fact that all of these laws that mm-hmm. are there, that are in place, these gun safe laws, whatever nonsense nomenclature you want to throw at it,
right.
are there as a result of Jim Crow laws.
Right.
And we cannot get people of color to listen to us.
No. Well, it's because the other side has done a very masterful job at yes. creating Towers of Babel.
Absolutely.
You know, in the Bible yes. they say, you know, when Tower of Babel, it was like no one could really communicate with each right. other in Babylon.
Right.
And they were babbling with each other.
Right.
So the other side has done a very good job of making sure that people don't communicate very well and very effectively, as well as building distrust barriers. They'll highlight, you know, let's say if there's 10 people in a room, one of them's, you know, a scumbag. They'll highlight the scumbag's right. actions and use that. See, they don't like you over there.
Right.
That, on one hand, does not mean that there's not a scumbag in that room. There
right.
is.
Right.
There's the scumbag. It also doesn't mean that the other 9 people are scumbags. They might be really good people. They do a very good job of, you know, presenting things as well, presenting falsehoods as well as throwing out misinformation.
In medicine, we say, you know, association is not causation.
Right.
You know, just because that one scumbag is in there.
Right.
That does not mean that everybody else is there.
Right.
And it does not mean that they caused it or he caused it or back and forth.
Right.
They're disparate.
But the other side, they are not interested in the facts of the matter.
No,
at all.
No, it's politics, man.
They're interested in making sure yes. that if, like you said, the origin of all gun control is racist. That's the reality.
Yes.
I call racism when it's racism. I don't call somebody saying a term that I don't like racism. You have to earn that title for me.
Right.
For me to go, nah, dude's a racist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. On whatever spectrum, you have to earn it from me. It's not just the thing that you throw out. So gun control is racist.
Oh, yeah.
No, flat out.
You know what I'm saying? Off yeah. top. And so what happened was, it's like what happened with crack. This was created to destabilize one particular community. Then it starts to spread. Now you got a problem.
Right.
Because the intended target, you shot low and left.
Yeah.
Now we're affected by it.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
So now we got to do something to fix it. But the damage is done, and then there's a ripple effect or a butterfly effect.
Right.
It's the same thing with gun control. People of color have a tremendous historical history with firearms, from the Buffalo Soldiers mm-hmm. to the you know, to whoever, the Deacons right. of Defense to
right.
the Black Panther Party. I think that the other side has as well. They've even some politicians in on a national or even state level, they have fell victim to the other side's misrepresentation of what these organizations actually were for, which is why you would have Reagan at that time agree with, you know, them all for that.
Right.
Because
right.
he was caught up in the conditioning right. when that organization was actually fighting for their human right to self-defense.
Right.
So because you fall victim to the conditioning, like most people, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, the Black Panther Party, they hated white people. Membership was white guys. It was mostly women in positions of leadership in the Black Panther Party. But if you don't do any historical study,
uh-huh.
you don't know that.
That's right. And they want, and the other side wants to keep you as ignorant as possible, so they just, you know, they saw on with their narrative.
Right.
We're coming. Great. I love that.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
Bastard. Yeah, but how old are you, Mosh?
So I tell everybody I'm 65.
Okay. Nice. Well, you look good for 65.
Yeah. I tell them 65 because people listen to senior citizens.
Yeah.
When people find out that are older than me, if they found that I'm a lot younger than them, they don't, you don't know nothing. If people think we're close in age, they won't listen to me because they go, oh, you're the same age as me.
Yeah.
So if I just say 65 and I just eat healthy, everybody pretty much goes like, oh, okay.
He's being a bastard. He showed me his gym picture because his body fat's like 6%. Just so you know, 4 years ago, my body fat was 60%.
You came down a lot, my brother.
I'm 18% body fat now. Yeah. I was 60%. I was taking diabetic medicine, high blood pressure medicine, cholesterol medicine, and sleeping with a Darth Vader
CPAP medicine machine. For gout, too.
Okay? Oh, and I was taking allopurinol for gout, too. Right. So I was ready to die. I don't take any prescription drugs now.
Outstanding.
And my body fat, so you inspire me as well. Real quick, this segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites, libertyofficesuites.com. Ron Sousa has two locations. Ron, Maj might need your meeting room of 70 people right up the hill in Montville if he wants to do an intimate event or something.
So if Maj Touré reaches
out to you, okay, support those who support us. Ron is big with donating to the causes, by the way.
For sure. Ron, I'm going to bug you.
So it's okay, and he'll let you do it, too. Saw Group has had stuff there. Tony Simon, Evan Knappen did a law seminar there. So it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, Maj is going to get into it more about his cause and everything right now, but I thought it was extremely important to have him on because, you know, I talked to him down at NRA board meetings. Like, we're going to be under assault from Chicken Murphy soon, and we're going to be going down to Trenton, and I don't want it to be like last time. Last time was better. We had some more people of color. But I want to see more single moms. I want to see more people of color down there.
Right.
Although the press is only going to focus on the one white guy that wore the camo that day or the flannel shirt, at least we know that we're reaching out more and more to the masses.
Right.
So you've been doing great things. I'm going to Blade Show with Sandy in June to Atlanta, and we're going to go to Stoddard's, and we're going to go see Mitch, because I know you and Shanine did something there.
Yeah.
So free form till the next break. Talk to us about official Black Guns Matter. After the break, I'll tell you how you can get blackgunsmatter.com, because it's cyber squatting.
Okay.
If they're not using it, you can get it.
Okay, I need that.
Okay,
so
good.
To touch on your point about Jersey, the cameras, if there's more people of color in the audience, you automatically shift the narrative because they can't single in. It almost is impossible, you know. So at that event down in Atlanta, that you know at Stoddard's, we had Shanine, we had Hank Strange, we had Argo J, we had Rob Pincus, we had John Hickok, we had you know, the guys from U.S. Law Shield. We had it was the all-star game, you know. Some of the people that were going to, Dana was going to come, but she was moving.
Yeah, because she had to hide.
Right.
She moved to a bunker.
She had to move. And so she was like, yo, if I was not moving, I would be there. Noor was doing something else. He's filming all over the place. He sent us a video drop to, you know, show to everybody and things like that. Saying this to say, you win by using the tactics that the other side uses.
Yes.
So
yes,
they use visual. I'm just going to make this room actually be the representation of what gun owners in America looks like.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
So Stephanie S., she's Asian. She's a shooter. She's been on the war show. That's what the room looks like. So actually in that room, white guys were the minority. So you had Big Zeke from Sonora Desert Institute. These are people that came from all of these different diverse backgrounds that had an understanding of, and some of my, you know, more prominent Instagram followers. When you put those people in the room and you create the visual, now that goes out, right? When that goes out, now you push back against, but it has to be organic. You have to have the real conversations.
That's right.
You have to deal with the issue.
Right.
You have to say, I thought this was bullshit. I thought this was real. No, I think you're wrong here. That feed the urban demographic, we feel that. There's some stuff going on visually. There's one piece comes to mind, the Ammo Land piece that came out, I think it was a few days ago. I'm looking at the pictures and I'm like, it look y'all like y'all just finished like shooting clay, but then just happened to sit on an urban bench. That is not real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is not real visually. I have a PR mind, I got a, like, this place visually is stunning. Art. Different perspective, gift baskets. These are things that it's inviting, and, oh, you can shoot, too. You can learn about this stuff.
Right. It's completely counterintuitive.
Yep.
So it throws them off.
Right. And with that being the case, it throws them off because the thing that they've been presenting is a lie.
Right.
It's a lie.
Right.
With that being the case, other larger organizations have to understand that your PR firms are thinking about billable hours. They are not thinking about – they're thinking about maintaining what they have.
Right.
More so than taking a little bit of a risk and expanding on what we can get.
They'll never do that because their whole agenda is to keep their job.
But here's the twist. This is how we force them. We're going to force them the same way that we're going to force the politicians. I understand what opportunist is. Now, I'm an opportunist when it's positive. You take advantage of an opportunity.
Right.
Some of those people are negative opportunists. When you are taking opportunities when it costs someone else something, especially something as intricate as their human right to self-defense, you're a negative opportunist. And a lot of politicians fall in that line. I'm not convinced in changing their mind on how they are as negative opportunists. I just want to work within their framework. So if I activate 50 million Americans across the country that have been left out of the conversation, that have been given misinformation, and get them to vote differently, we get those politicians back on our side.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm not fighting with you. That's like trying to have an argument.
Right.
You could be dead right with a law enforcement officer on the side of the road. You're not going to win that fight.
Right. You're not going to win.
I'll see you in court. I'll fight the ticket, whatever. Because,
right.
I mean, if we come from a place of righteousness, I'm not interested in changing their minds that way. They'll do it. They'll change their minds willingly when the tide turns. And when there's 50 million more people, if there's a million more people in New Jersey now instead of, you know, Gun for Hire being the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, they're now the voice of 3 million New Jersey gun owners. And those 3 million people collectively are going, we're looking at your stats. Again, when I look at politicians, I look at those their voting history like I do LeBron's season.
Right.
Oh, he voted here. Oh, man, I want that argument. I want to change the thought process where guys are arguing about which politician was more respectful for the Second Amendment, like it's sports. That's how we make the politicians, because we're paying attention to your stats. And it becomes that's the real game. Then we can influence policy, influence money. But
right.
Then we don't got to fire a shot.
Right. Now, how do you get... We just came through an election cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're coming into a break. But when we come back from the break, we just went into an election cycle. Every time he and I have tried to motivate these people to do anything, to get off their ass, they don't. Now, Facebook's blowing up because they've got an anti-gun governor. No shit. Where were you when we asked you to come in?
Right.
Armchair command. For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience and makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra wide ports so two people can stand side by side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well lit. We also have three times as much light down range that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and quarian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
With the news, events, and political shenanigans impacting your freedom, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
This segment is brought to you by Gunsitters, gunsitters.com, located on Route 10 East in Whippany, under the Pine Plaza. My eye doctor is on top in the original pancake house. Maj doesn't eat pancakes because his body fat is 4%, which means he's probably perpetually angry because he's always hungry.
That's good.
So gunsitters.com, a quick blurb from Maj's website. Maj Ture is a solutionary hip-hop artist turned Second Amendment activist from North Philly. His following began after he was featured on the cover of the Philadelphia Weekly as the Prophet of Philadelphia. He founded the Black Guns Matter movement in 15 and tours across the country providing Second Amendment education and information to urban communities. Maj has been featured in New York Times, Breitbart, NPR, and NRA News. He is an out-of-the-box approach to the Second Amendment advocate, which is right on. God bless. I was on Cam and Company last week. If you guys want to go on and look at it from NRA board meetings, I talked about the Murphy coronation. Maj, so people that want to see what you're doing, support you, donate money for your cause or whatever, where do they go?
Well, initially they can go to our website, officialblackgunsmatter.com. We are fundraising. First, I wanted everybody to know, I am beholden to the people. You guys donate, you women donate, you determine where we go and you keep this machine going. If a company comes and says, hey, we want to give you $1 million to keep doing this thing, that probably may come with some sort of stipulations.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. We try to keep it as, you know, independent as possible. We keep this going based on, you know, you guys' support. We're at $75,000. Our original goal was 25,000 in 13 cities. We've ran through that goal. We said, okay, well, let's just do every state in America at least once. And we raised our goal up to 150,000. So we're halfway there. That's between our GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com/Black Guns Matter, and our PayPal, because we just got our GoFundMe back. Mysteriously, after 17 months, GoFundMe said, hey, we need to know that you're who you are. And I'm like, well, it's a simple Google search. Like, just do it. So we have both of those GoFundMe available. If you want to make a bigger donation, shoot to the GoFundMe. But if you have, we are trying to get at least 1,000 people before SHOT Show to donate $5. I know it might not seem like a lot, but it adds up, and it gets us to be able to pay it forward. Our classes are free, you know. So that is for smaller donations like that. We ask everybody to hit the PayPal, paypal.me/blackgunsmatterus.
Those links are on the official blackgunsmatter.com page as well, right?
Yep.
So for an old man like me that doesn't want to do a lot of searching and stuff, that's the way I'm going to go.
Yep.
Shut up, Sandy. I saw the way you looked at me. I saw it.
It's the type of work that you create a space where, okay, to get somebody into the range, because again, like Tony says all the time, I am a capitalist. I believe that you should support businesses that respect your human rights.
Absolutely.
With that being the case, I would rather the beginner come to our class, get an understanding of the Second Amendment, get an understanding of, you know, handgun anatomy, get an understanding of conflict resolution and de-escalation tactics, get an understanding of basic firearm law for their state and their municipality, and get their heart and mind in the right place, and then send them up the street to the next step in it.
Correct.
You don't come to the range and not have an understanding of why this is very important.
Absolutely.
And I believe everybody said, well, why don't you just charge, you know, like $50 for the class? No, because that
it defeats the whole purpose,
and it strengthens the barrier to entry.
Yes,
there are certain states that you go to, like Massachusetts, where you got to spend $100 to even take the test to even go that direction.
That's not, it's discriminatory, not by, but you don't need an ID to vote.
Right. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, talk about discrimination.
You feel what I'm
saying? So we want illegals to be able to vote,
right,
but citizens, a lot of them minorities, we want to put that roadblock where they need $100.
And you're talking about somebody that's working 40, 50 hours a week, has children, got rent.
Right.
So for us, it's like, nah. And then we've partnered with some places, like in Boston. We did a class in Boston and Springfield. The Boston class, the guys that we worked with over there, Com2A, they sue city governments and state governments for infringement on, you know, people's rights. Saying this to say, they're also in Massachusetts, they're sanctioned to give the test. So when we work with them, we said, hey, can you defer the cost for the people that come to our class? And they said yes. So we had, I don't know how many hundred people, but altogether we saved a few, you know, maybe $5,000-$10,000.
Wow.
For people that would have had, so we removed that financial barrier to entry.
You know what we espouse in New Jersey all the time? Mm. If you have a predominantly white bedroom community, you can go anytime in the police department and get your permit paperwork, and then you could usually pick it up anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
All the inner cities, Patterson, Passaic, Jersey City, Tuesdays, 11 to 1.
While you're at work.
Yes. Right. And then when you go, you're like, yeah, I'm here to see Officer Turek.
He's at court today.
Right. Come back next Tuesday.
Right.
I know the scam.
Right. They did the same thing in Philly. So we were across the licensing unit in Philly. Same thing. Counties, walk in, here's the paperwork, blah, 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 we're out of here. Philly's the only city of the first class in Pennsylvania, a million or more inhabitants, right? The gun range and the class where we had Jose's old spot was literally across the street from the licensing unit.
Right.
We started getting so many people going into there to get their license. They picked up and moved.
Are you serious?
They literally moved.
They couldn't handle it.
It was like, we're out of here.
Yes.
They moved.
Yeah, that's not discrimination.
It's not discrimination. No. They moved into a part of Philadelphia that it's on like the east side. It's the east side of Erie Avenue, which means you got to kind of like either take a bus or drive. And it's the same thing. We close at 1 o'clock. We do this. It's on this day, and this day. So we started printing out, you know, hey, everybody, the place is changing. The place that they moved it to, it wasn't even, it used to be an old state troopers like headquarters. It was abandoned. That's the place that they moved the licensing unit to.
Just to get out of downtown.
Because we were like close to downtown. Like,
yeah, you were
right
on
in between,
Spring Garden. Right,
yeah. Right on Spring Garden. So they moved it from there and put it all the way over there. And so we
were
on
the other side of town.
Yep. So we literally said, okay, let's just use the internet to tell everybody, hey, everybody, this is where they moved to. And no signs, no nothing. We also put up, we said to them, listen, we want to when people get their license to carry, we want to print up at our own cost places across, not just Jose's place, places across the city that you can come to get training. Just leave it here. We'll pay for all of the flyers. We'll come in every week and check and see and leave more flyers. No.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want, so you, on one hand, you want to say the violence is out of control, right, the negligence is out of control. But when we coming at our own cost saying, right, we got it, we'll just drop off a few hundred, and to the people that get the license, just give it to them. No.
We're not going to be paid to solicit to you.
It's much better if we just try to prevent them from even getting the permit.
Which is exactly why they raised the bar and raised the bar and raised the bar.
You know, there's about 30 towns within a 20-mile radius of my range that hand out my brochures when people come in for their initial paperwork. And there's about 130 towns that won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And I say, but, you know, the other gun stores can leave their stuff, too, you know, just so people can take a safety class. And
right,
of the 30 towns that do it, those permit officers, I'll have people come in, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and be like, oh, yeah, Officer Jones sent me and said that you guys are, you know, you should get training. So we decided to get training. Like you said, the angle, much better, much safer, but better we just hide our head in the sand like an effing ostrich.
Let's pretend.
Yeah, let's pretend to care. Time and memories, the two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices, no interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
They said it wouldn't last. That was just wishful thinking. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 7 years running.
Are we back yet?
We are.
And this segment, remember, ScottBach.com, ScottBach.com for NRA. We want to get him back on the board. Scott and Maj introduced them at the NRA board meetings. Maj didn't need any help being introduced to people, but I carted him around a little bit and introduced him to the people that I like and the objective people and the more cutting edge, that'll take a chance because, he doesn't fit the narrative for many people, and which is exactly the reason why I like him.
Yeah.
But most people don't like that. You know, like when I decided to sponsor a competitive shooter years ago, I sponsored 8-year-old Cheyenne Roberts, you know, because it's very hard to attack an 8-year-old girl.
Right.
You know, when she goes to Trenton and testifies.
They
and
did
talks,
their best,
yeah,
though.
They did their best, but it's
they attacked the father.
But if I had sponsored a 20-year-old girl or guy, it's easier to attack them, especially if it's a male. So I like to think outside the box. So I look at you, and I love it. Again, like I said, it's the opposite of what the left is going for. And, it's funny. We just paid the Congressional Budget Office, Nancy Pelosi and them. They tried to buy guns online, and they tried to buy guns at dealers, and they were rejected mm-hmm. 75 out of 75 times.
Mm-hmm.
You won't hear about that on the mainstream media. Right. But
or you would have had
the background checks
one,
and NICS and everything prevented it. So,
But you can buy guns so easily on the Internet.
We had Maj, Operation Strike Force went after the towns in New Jersey that were discriminating and making people wait for undue periods of time for their permits and stuff, and we sent some towns to the prosecutor's office saying, listen, your officer and the police chief are complicit in this, and it's official malpractice, official malfeasance, and you could be tried under that. What was it? Asbury Park, predominantly minority. Now it's like a huge gay influx moving in, and mm-hmm. they're gentrifying it. But previous to that, it was mostly minority. when you went in, yeah, when you went in for your permit, the officer said, "All right, sit down. You got to take this test in front of me." They had a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox 10-question test. On the test, it was similar to a civil service test. It was full of double negatives. Now, imagine you've never been in a police department for a good reason, mm-hmm. and you're scared shit. Mm-hmm. You have no record, but you're still scared shit. I'm scared shit when I go to the police department.
Right, yeah. Right.
Detective hands you this. You got to answer. You got to answer all 10 out of 10. Otherwise, he won't give you the paperwork for your permit. When we found out about this, we were furious.
Right.
So the first question was, it is okay not to teach your children about firearm safety. True
See?
Or false?
See?
How are you going to answer that
right.
shit?
Right. Okay. When did you stop beating your wife?
Okay, yeah, exactly.
Right.
So we found out about it. We sent them a letter. They disregarded it. So then we sent the letter to the prosecutor's office. And about 3 weeks later, we got a letter from the chief. We have ceased and desist from using that test any further. Because the prosecutor said, they're going to fry your ass.
Right. That's the part that my entire job is to get my hood across America in line with that.
See?
How are you doing that, though? Because some of the stuff that the biggest argument I get back is, well, Mom and them says guns are bad.
Right. See, the fucked up part for y'all is y'all don't have any trust yet. It's the mob.
Yeah.
The community is like, for good reason, too.
Yeah.
We've been lied and taken advantage of. Yeah. Poor people in America have been fucked for some time.
Yeah.
The defense mechanisms, we're traumatized.
Yep.
We deal with, it's just true, from where I live now and where I used to live, it's not far away from each other, but like crime-wise, it's light years away from each other. If there's, that's going back to the example of the jerk. If I get the one or two jerk cops and they're the only ones that I see in my little 10 block radius, that paints a picture. My community has dealt with that for a very long time. So, and the misinformation on top of that.
Right.
Here comes a guy, especially if you got wraparound shades. If you're a gun guy, you're probably going to have on cargo pants. You fit what a cop would look like.
Yep.
So it's like, nah. And the misinformation on top of that. Firearm means bad guy or law enforcement.
Right. And there's no in between.
There's no in between. With that being the case, it's almost like y'all damn near can't. Until they have the conversation with y'all, it's like me. I don't trust people that I never heard cuss. If I never hear you cuss, you're holding on to something and you're hiding
he
something.
He must trust me.
I trust because we was sitting around the whole town down at the board meeting. I'm like, look, that next morning, I'm like, is Anthony in here? Okay, let me sit right here.
Yeah.
The point there is there needs to be a certain understanding because for me, what I represent to my community is someone that goes, okay, we know that you're going into that world that we have no idea about.
Right.
We trust you to never forsake us.
Right.
I can never betray that trust.
No.
That's worse than being a rat. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's worse than if my law enforcement friends, we're not crossing that thin blue line. I understand it. And we pretend like there's not a similarity there. If you're a government official, a Benedict Arnold is the worst thing that you can be.
Right.
So the community says, Maj, do you trust these people? It's like the mob. Are you co-signing for this person? Me doing my due diligence and putting my reputation
mm-hmm.
on the line to say you can come here and get information and be treated properly. And when those things line up, it immediately removes the narrative that the other side has pushed.
Yeah. Right.
But you have to have – I can't get into the NRA board meetings without a liaison. I can't. It's never happening. It's those guys with the – I know they had M whatever's on them. You get what I'm saying? You're not getting in this room.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's very similar. And when they see, you know, hopefully out of these NRA board meetings and, you know, board of directors meetings and going to SHOT Show and having honest talk, those 70 or so, you know, manufacturers that are going to come take the class of mine in SHOT Show, I hope they're open-minded enough for me to show you where not only is your PR firm selling you some bullshit, it's actually reversing it. Again,
yeah, it's hurting.
You named your gun Ghetto Blaster. Two things are going to happen. One, the hood's going to go, what the fuck is that? And two,
that's right.
The other side is going to go, see, I told you they were racist.
Let me tell you, I've been for like, in another life, I did something else. And for the past maybe 20 years, I've been... I started out teaching doctors how to market themselves.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I started out, long story short, I came out of a government service, okay, and I started my own medical research company.
Yeah.
A little, tiny little boutique medical research company in the front end of my rented house,
right,
competing with the giants.
Right.
We kicked their ass all every way from Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I took that when I was done with that, and I started teaching docs, especially, you know, entrepreneurial docs,
right,
how to really market their ideas and think differently, think completely differently than everybody else.
Right.
Kind of like out-of-box thinking on steroids.
Right.
Well, one of the big things that we talk about is really exactly what you're saying. It is you got to speak the right words, but you got to you really...
It got to be something behind them words.
It's got to be real. Mm-hmm. You have to understand it, because if you're speaking to your audience in a way you think that they speak, you listen to them a little bit, all you need to do is drop one slight little hint, show your hand, and you're bullshit from that point
right.
on. And unfortunately, these guys are never going to get it. Like you say, the PR firms are feeding them bullshit that they want
to
hear.
Just enough to make them not have to deal with their own biases.
Exactly.
And
then
that bias reflects, and then it's we see it. It's like again, perfect example, when you're hunting a wolf. If that bait, if the wolf could smell human hands on it,
done.
I'll rather starve to death before I get caught that
way. That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so our job, you know, is to translate that, as well as if you are a company that is worth $100 million, come to the event.
Right.
I'll give you that hour worth of information. After that, support what we're doing, because clearly it's working.
Yes.
Clearly
yes.
It's working.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, right now, I think, and one of the things I'm trying to get across to people right now, especially the marketers and you guys out here, if you own a business or whatever, just listen to this. If you hear nothing else,
right. The
people today are starving for authenticity.
Yep.
Just fucking be yourself.
Yep.
Just be who you are and don't worry about what anybody else says.
Right.
That's why I love this guy over here,
mm-hmm.
you know, is because he doesn't give a shit
right.
one way or the other. He did it his way. His biggest problem is fighting against his own people inside or trying to get him to conform.
Right. That's like the people that say about me, he's not a shooter. He's not a marksman. No, I am not.
Right.
But how has been having all of this information
helped you out?
Has it helped our cause?
It hasn't.
Y'all talking about twist ratios to beginners. They don't know what melanite is. What are you talking about?
Correct. Oh, you
what
say clip and not magazine.
Okay, cool.
You asshole.
You get what I'm saying? And
exactly.
it's that bravado when it's like, okay, this is the lane. The reality of the truth of the matter is the other side has allowed us to continue that.
Sure.
Thing, because they like, we can get all of the complete beginners and change their mind and their hearts.
Yep. Ahead of time.
Ahead of time.
Ahead of time.
And if there wasn't somebody like me or other like Tony that's coming around and going, yo, they could win. Now
they have won.
They have won for some time. Now
some
the tide is shifting.
Absolutely.
We here now. Like I can't.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
And you cannot let you cannot let the genie back in the bottle. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You know, as it turns out, one out of every three of us is caring for an aging parent. And if you're one of us, I don't have to tell you how difficult that can be. And until now, good sound advice that you could really trust was few and far between. The show is called Parents Are Hard to Raise, and every week it's jam-packed with expert advice and some pretty cool tips and tricks that'll help you and your parents grow older together without losing your minds. It's free expert elder care advice with a Jersey attitude. The show is hosted by my wife, Diane Berardi, who's been a practicing gerontologist for over 3 decades. So the insight's real, and the advice you get is battle-tested and ready to go. And it's often a little edgy. Parents Are Hard to Raise. Available on iTunes, Google Play, and on demand at iHeartRadio or at parentsarehardtoraise.org. Anthony just depressed me. He said Barbie Benton just turned 67.
Yeah, half our listeners don't even know who she is.
Yeah, that's true.
So listen to this. I've been saying this for years, that the politicians, with all the social service programs we have, welfare, food stamps, and other assistance, it's a legal form of slavery.
Yep.
You would agree?
Yep.
I start here at much higher than minimum wage, almost double from minimum wage. But back in the day when I was starting out, we were a little bit above the minimum wage, and we competed with social service programs.
Yeah. Mm.
And people would rather stay home because they got the free health care,
right, sure,
and everything.
Sure.
So,
and they lose whatever they're
correct.
Right.
But, you know, and it's a majority of the inner cities, or almost all of them, are democratically controlled. But there are some Republicans, too. But let's face it, D-R-R-I at the end of their name, it's all about self-preservation. They could give a shit about
that's
us,
right.
All right?
And progressivism is progressive.
Correct. All the arguments out there. And the hypocrisy. They have armed guards.
Yes.
Right.
You
right.
know, and people are dying in the inner cities. You know, nobody gives a shit about Chicago, right?
No.
Am I right?
No.
Right. Nobody gives a shit about
Chicago.
They'll use
Chicago.
It as the talking point
right.
to get their other agenda and money popping off. But fixing it, nah.
No, nobody no. gives a shit.
We're against gun
it's
violence.
It's a travesty. And listen, I don't care if it's black on black. I don't care if it's a drug dealer on drug dealer. It's still Americans dying to
right,
me.
Exactly.
I don't give a shit about illegals. I'm sorry, but you know what? My earlier show, Maj, I said that, you know, they talk about the chain migration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for keeping the families together. I'm for chain deportation.
Right.
Exactly. Bye.
See,
bye.
This is what I think. I think that people, you know, I sold a lot of weed. I'm past the statute of limitations, so I could say
that's good. It's important.
I sold a lot of weed, and this is my corner, my profit.
Did
my
you
product.
Only sell to black people?
No.
Oh, okay,
absolutely
just checking.
Not. Everybody. Capitalists since
okay.
way back.
That's right. See? Okay.
You got cash?
Right. You're my friend.
That's right.
Here's the thing. If people haven't dealt in sales and understood, you know, securing, maintaining, and expanding on the market,
right.
which is the definition of politics.
Yep.
Securing, yes. maintaining, yes. and expanding what your agenda is.
Yes, right.
They all get offended by, you know, the thing of, oh, well, illegals. And it's like, okay, now when you own a home, you know, if I'm just like, yo, it's cold out and I don't have a crib, like, just open your door and let me just, like, raid your fridge real quick.
I'll only be here a little while, and my kids are coming in.
And it's cool, because
yeah.
they're hungry.
Yeah, because they're hungry.
Now, don't get me wrong, if you choose to do that, that's awesome.
That's right.
Great. Good for you.
But you chose.
You chose. And this person gave you an extra, hey, we're going to write you an extra tax benefit. We're not going to tax you as much for that.
Right.
Right? But for it to be mandatory, or mm-hmm. this be the policy, in a space where I could ride through Detroit, and there's every abandoned building, there's every, you know, there's no jobs and things of that nature. We got to, like, kind of, like, handle that first. Now,
right.
don't get me wrong. We are a nation of immigrants. I get it.
Legal immigrants.
Yes.
You
yes.
get what I'm saying?
Right.
As me, as a person, as an African American, my ancestors were forcibly, for the most part, brought here.
Right.
Now I'm here. This shit is mine now.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So if this is my block, this is my corner, this
right.
is my spot, anything that's coming in here got to be productive to my bottom lines and the culture. And at a space where, and we have to be honest, in a space where for some time America, we, as our government, we've allowed people to go bomb and it does not, that happened.
That's right.
So with that being the case, now that creates a different security system or a defensive tactic. Now I got to think about, you know, if I'm like 9/11 happened, whoever did it, who didn't, whatever their reasons was. I have to think about security and homeland security. I got to think about that. It's our job to balance that out. You don't get to just say, absolutely not, nobody. And you don't get to just say, oh, everybody and their children.
Right.
It is our job, just
right.
like our human rights. Okay, some dickhead does something with a firearm. You do not get to say because he or she did that wrong thing. Or if that was fake or not, Vegas. You don't get to just say because of that, nobody gets to exercise any of their
correct.
Freedoms.
Right.
The work falls on us to figure out that balance. The beauty of it is we actually have documents that kind of like created the country that we can use.
Yeah.
Yep.
That if we were to go back to them, they were friggin' brilliant, and they were brilliant for a reason. Rome fell for the very damn
yep.
reason
that we're falling
right now.
Yep.
Mind your own damn business.
For up until the 30s, America's like international policy was we don't have international policy.
Right.
We'll let everybody, right. our neighbors to the north and south of us were weaker.
Right.
If you're trying to get us from that way, we got an ocean that way. We got an ocean that way. You right. can't get to us. Here's the twist. At that time, Pittsburgh was producing 30% of the world's steel. 30%. Yep. Pittsburgh. I'm from Pennsylvania. So now when I look through Philly and when I see, when I was super young, I remember those textile jobs, those manufacturing jobs. I know that those big buildings on Broad and Lehigh used to have people going in and coming out of them
right.
for work.
All gone. Right.
Now they're gone.
They're gone.
My job is to organize all of the people. And just like people from the gold rush to the marijuana rush, my job is to make the polymer rush. My job is to make this so lucrative, like marijuana in Colorado, that even the Democrats are saying, yeah, okay, Sessions. Yeah, okay, we self-sufficient. Yeah. My job is to make the same thing with the polymer rush by getting the 50 million Americans that have been left out of the Second Amendment conversation. Now let's create jobs. And if Gun for Hire Range is making $100 million a year because so many people from Jersey and New York are coming in, is Anthony going to vote an anti-gun politician? And no, it's going to give every business damn near the same strength of the NRA to lobby.
Right.
The politicians can stay who they are. Negative opportunists. We're just going to swing the pendulum this way.
Right.
I hope.
This is going to happen, Anthony. This is going to happen.
It's the only way it can happen.
This shit is Fight Club.
Yeah. It's the only way it can happen because everything that the NRA and all the other bullshit that's been going, you know, the groupthink that goes on everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the problem is that the NRA just doesn't get it. You know, we've talked to even organizations here in the state. You know, they're all fighting for their own duchyhood. You know, they want their own little piece of something. I want to be a celebrity for 15 minutes, which right. is, in a sense, why I loathe social media because of what it's done to the society.
Mm.
Because every asshole in the world, you've got kids now popping Tide Pods.
Yo, that's just the silliest shit ever.
I'm trying to start the drink Pine Sol challenge.
You should do this.
The thing there is, there needs to be small pockets of, like, when you ever see that movie Gladiator with
yes.
Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
They handed him the Senate. And he was like, I actually don't want this. Right. I just want to get from under that regime.
Right.
The regime is ignorance. A person like me goes, yeah, I don't want none of this shit, but none of you guys are actually, this area you can't actually help in.
Right.
The other side is exploiting that.
Right.
My job is to go, hey, I got all of this influence, this blah, 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 blah. The hood listens to me. The sticks listens to me. The politicians listen to me. The anti-gun politicians that were trying to shut down the range that we use in Philly started writing out letters of recommendation of we see what Black Guns Matter is doing and da, 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 da. But they wouldn't listen to Yuri, the Israeli Jewish immigrant right. that owns a gun store in right. North mm-hmm. Philly.
Right.
But me, they will. That's my position. And I don't want to be a shooter. I don't want to be a trainer. I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to be any of that.
Yeah.
I just want to be a dude that fixes this problem and gets us back to more constitutional principles. It's like you said about the 8-year-old girl. You almost can't attack me.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. What you gonna call me, racist? Oh my God.
Yeah,
it hurts
yeah.
my feelings.
You are a white supremacist.
I'm a white supremacist.
I knew it. An Illuminati.
I am an Illuminati. The thing is, we have to make sure that, you know, and I, as far as the hood, I got Compton. Yeah. I got Brooklyn. I got Philly. I got Vine City down in Atlanta. I got Houston. Not because I'm there all the time, but because that, like you said, that authenticity.
Right.
It's no fake shit.
You can't
shit.
Fake that shit.
You cannot
no.
fake it.
No.
You got it or you don't.
Right. Absolutely.
So everyone should donate.
Go ahead. Officialblackgunsmatter.com.
Officialblackgunsmatter.com. GoFundMe.com/blackgunsmatter. My phone number is 310-279-7413. I'm fully transparent. If you're going through something, middle of the night, you want to put that gun in your mouth, don't. Call me. Let's get a drink. Let's talk.
We're planning an event here, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the new edition's not done yet, and I'm afraid he's going to blow the joint up with 5,000 people. But we are planning an event.
There for
when do you want to wait? We'll have you on another show.
Yeah.
We'll discuss it, but we're doing it. But you guys listen to him. It's guys like him that we need to break this stranglehold that our politicians have over the minorities and inner city people. There's white inner city people, too, that are fed the same line of shit, too. Mm-hmm. It's not just minorities.
No, it's not.
It's inner city.
It's mindset. This is all mindset.
Yep.
The battle is not out there. The battle's right here between our own ears.
Yep.
And if we don't get our freaking thinking right and do something entirely different, you know my mantra, man. Watch what everybody else is doing and do the exact opposite, right? If they zig, you zag.
Yep. I told him that. Only dead fish go with the flow.
Yep. Damn right.
You know, growing up poor inner city, my grandparents were immigrants, all four of them. They all voted the same Democrats all the time. And there's an old saying that says everybody hates politicians, but everybody loves their politician.
Yes. Yep.
Right.
Because that's the one that's feeding us shit all the time. Mm-hmm. We're doing good for you. We're doing this. It's all a bunch of bullshit. They have their own health care. They have armed security. Right. They have their own pension plan. Right.
Look, Leosha? The law enforcement officers.
Right.
They've had national reciprocity since 2004.
Right. Yep.
You're right.
Yep.
And in my mind, because people are like, well, officers won't know who's carrying lawfully. And I'm like, okay, well, let's use that for an example. When officers are traveling and they're in plain clothes, if another officer from that state sees that officer happening to be carrying, I haven't heard of one officer shooting another officer yet.
Right.
Great argument.
And they've been doing that for a long time.
Since 2004. Right. So you're saying all of these cute, cliquish things.
Yeah.
And the beauty of our situation is I can go, I know what that is, and that's actually not true.
Right.
They've banked on people like me not knowing the issues.
Right.
And losing the credibility with my hood. My commitment to my hood is unquestioned.
Yeah.
It's you cannot buy it.
Right.
You can't buy it. You know, and so with that being the case, you know, the NRA, you know, and I'm using them as an example because they're the largest, and we were just down there, you know, last weekend. The NRA, I believe, is at a point where they're trying to go, okay, let's try something else. I could walk 1 million people from urban Americas into membership, because let's be clear. I hate when people say, well, they're just only trying to make money. Well, we're in America. You're supposed to make money.
Right, exactly.
You've got to feed the machine.
You have to feed this machine and expand on it.
Right.
I could walk 1 million people from hoods across America, but the NRA can't just look like it's diverse in certain spaces.
It has to be. Yes.
Yes, sir. Right.
Otherwise, you lose your credibility.
Absolutely.
And then that's everything.
And I'm never doing that. No. I will never forsake
Maj my life. Will be back on again. It's official, blackgunsmatter.com. What else you want to say? I'm going to let you close the show.
Everybody, please come out to Guns for Hire. I know everybody, you know, you're in Jersey. You think, you know, you are in a slave state. But you have to support the places that support your right. Come learn, share. Meet, break stereotypes, and if you can donate $5, we need 1,000 people to donate $5. That should be awesome, and please do so. Y'all be safe, be solutionary.
This guy's doing great things. Everybody, please support officialblackgunsmatter.com. Maj will be on the show again. You'll be seeing us doing some cross promotion stuff to get the word out there. He asked me, he goes, I want to do an event here. What's your fee? I'm like, bro, I just want to cover minimal overhead. I just want to put the word out. I'm not looking to get rich off of this shit. That shit's long gone. I'm 57 years old. I'm just trying to stay out of jail, to be honest with
you. Speaking of that, what kind of classes you got coming?
We have a plethora of urban classes, prepping classes. If you want to build your own AR, Jimmy@gunforhire.com. By the way, all these bills that are coming around and bubbling, don't freak out. ANGRPC, CNJFO, Gun for Hire, Gun for Hire Radio. We're going to let you know when it's time to contact the legislators, when it's time to storm the state house, okay? Hundreds of bills get released every year. Scott Bach for NRA, scottbach.com. He put that out there. There's no more back channels, no more side deals. We're outnumbered in the House, the Senate, and they got Governor Chicken Murphy. So we're done. All right? Thank you all. Maj, thank you, brother.
I appreciate y'all.
What's your body fat?
There is none.
There
is none.
Son of a bitch.
There is none. Bruce Lee.
All right. Well, you've done it again. Lee. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gunfire Radio. Gunfire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, and their license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. Please support this guy. He's the real deal. You don't hear me say that much about anybody. And the NRA's still old.